I was brought to my attention today that a member of the community, Joe Paul, passed away down in Florida. Joe was very active in the community here in Cairo. So if we could just have a moment of silence for him, for all he's done for us. Okay, thank you. Before we start our meeting tonight, I just want to make the public aware of an award that we received tonight down at the Greene County Legislature. This was for the Ellen Reddes Planning Achievement Award 2008 Environmental Preservation, Recreation, and Open Space category. This was presented to the group that worked on the Reservoir Park for about 2 years or so, and the county recognized them for all their efforts. So when a lot of the group is in Florida vacationing or enjoying the sunshine, what I'd like to do is have them all come to a board meeting and we can present it to them and hang it here in Town Hall where it should be displayed. And it was quite nice. The whole legislature was there and it was well deserved. They did a really good job with it. Another event that we have going on in town is Rich Hilgendorf, our fire chief from Round Top, has put in 40 years of service this year. And I'd like Rich to come up. I'd like to
years is a long time for doing volunteer work for the community, and I think it's appropriate that we give Rich a proclamation from the town, and I'll read it. Whereas the town of Cairo would like to recognize the exceptional dedication of Chief Richard Hilgendorf for 40 years of service to the citizens of the Round Top Fire District. Such status is earned by a select few who are willing to devote years of time and effort to fulfill the necessary requirement of being a volunteer firefighter. It shall be acknowledged that Chief Richard Hilgendorf has made great strides within the Round Top Volunteer Fire Company while in his command. Today we honor Chief Hilgendorf for his dedication achievements that he has shown while in his command of the Round Top Volunteer Fire Company. Therefore, I, as an employee supervisor of the town of Cairo, on behalf of the town officials and the residents of the town of Cairo, do hereby congratulate and commend Richard Hilgendorf, and do hereby proclaim this 18th day of February as a day of special recognition.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And that's that is quite an achievement, 40 years of volunteer service, and Rich, thank you very, very much. Okay, moving along with our agenda. We have the minutes of the January 21st meeting. Can I have a motion to accept those?
I have a question, John.
Okay.
On page 3, you're talking about the pickup truck for the Town Park.
Yep.
It says we took care of Town Hall, Town Park, is a community center. Did we also discuss the fire departments? Is it going to take care of the fire departments or not?
By law, the fire departments receive a tax from the community. Okay? And it's my understanding that I have to get clarification that the town cannot do that because they are receiving a tax already to perform, you know, to take care of the maintenance. But I will inquire about that. But that was my understanding of that.
I'd make a motion to approve the minute.
Okay. Second?
Well, I got one more question.
Okay.
The succeeding resolution, do we need a number that it succeeded?
Okay. On the first page, resolution 3909. Second by Council Chris. First lead agency improvement. Okay, where's the resolution?
We get the number.
Right.
The third line up.
Yep, third line up from the bottom. Yes, we would need a resolution number there. Okay. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Very good. Thank you. So Deborah, just make a note.
I did.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, if we can go to reports. Ray.
In the month of January, we had a total of 74 dispatches. Of that 74, 30 of them were basic life support calls transported to the hospital, 20 of them were advanced life support calls transported to the system or at the intermediate level for a total of 56 calls, billed out at a total of $50,630. The only other, we did sign the contract for the new ambulance. Probably be delivered sometime toward the middle end of April. Past that. And we got further than down the agenda the issue that we have.
With the time of the event, yes. Okay, very good. Thank you. Janice, do you have your report?
Yes, I had 17 sales for the month of January. And just to remind everyone, if you haven't renewed your senior exemption, so if there's any other exemption, taxable status for March 1st, mm-hmm. and not until March 2nd, which is the Monday, to come in and file any during your entire year. And if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to help you, okay? And the other thing I have, I just wanted to give the board a couple of letters. You can review this at your leisure, and hopefully maybe sometime in the future. We can discuss the matter of EDUs. Thank you. And that's really the end of my report.
Okay. Janice, I just have one question.
Sure.
On the assessor's report, you said how many sales for the month of January?
19.
19, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to put this on the agenda for the workshop, these letters. This needs to be addressed. Okay. All right, thank you, Janice. Excuse me? Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, code enforcement, Stacy.
For the previous month, the building department issued 12 permits, 21 inspections, issued 5 POs, and are currently investigating the incident.
Okay. All right, thank you. Highway. Steve is out of town. I have his report. Attended the FEMA kickoff meeting. All paperwork is now complete. We are waiting for FEMA to sign off. FEMA will be reimbursing 75%, and the state will be reimbursing 12.5% of the cost for equipment and material and all overtime hours worked. We took down Christmas lights on Main Street and also worked on with Kramer Electric to repair the lights. We are currently restocking salt and sand barn. The town board made a decision at February's workshop that any town resident will only be allowed to take 2 buckets of sand and salt mixture. Working with the Bear Committee regarding installation of bears on Main Street, that's with the Chamber of Commerce. They assisted the sewer department. The highway is out filling potholes during the good weather. During the last storm, high winds caused many trees down, and power outages in the Round Top area. And tonight, Steve is requesting a resolution for the funding of the Paystar, $38,000 from the lease account and $12,000 from the equipment account. That's further down on the agenda. Okay, so that's the highway report. My historian, Robert.
We came to display in the town hall lobby. It's now called Take Your Medicine. I recommend it to you. It features many commonly used remedies of the 19th century, as well as artifacts from our local drugstore. After several inquiries about local history, including a woman looking for a Wensley High View house, a researcher from Ohio seeking information on the Finch family. Began to get estimates on replacement of wall sconces for St. Edmund's Chapel for possible refurbishing of the cultural center. Maintained the town scrapbook, and I have the entire second half of the year, which I will hand in to the town clerk tonight. And, those are always available at the town hall anytime someone's researching a story or just wants to look something up, and they go all the way back to at least year 88 when I started, and then 6 years before that.
Are you being idiot?
It feels like it sometimes. And that's about it. And we've got plenty of things coming up in the spring. I'm sure that everyone else is looking forward to new weather.
That's for sure. Thank you. Okay, Chris, police department.
Past month, the police department handled a total of 149 complaints. Of that, 63 were criminal, 77 non-criminal, 81 classified. We handled 13 dog complaints, and we assisted code enforcement with continued 5 follow-up complaints, and we're also pursuing 5 cases in court. We handled a total of 13 accidents for the month, issued 4 parking summonses, we issued 58 traffic citations, and we made 22 arrests and 34 charges. I'd just like to say that I'm very proud of my officers. In specific this month, we had a rash of vehicles, large vehicles, come to the Apra Sunside Road area. A total of 20 cars were entered, and various items were taken for money, GPS, stereos, binoculars, radar detectors, by four young adults, four young male adults. They were arrested during that the next day. And I just want to make sure that, you know, everybody knows. I mean, we do live in a community. You know, you don't think it's going to happen, but it does. 2 weeks prior to that, there were a number of larcenies out in the Half Moon Drive, Frank Hitchcock area. And it's most of the time, it's young kids just going around late at night becoming tedious. I'd like to advise everybody, no matter where you live, just, you know, lock your vehicle so that you're valuable to pay. People need wallets, and credit cards are a big thing nowadays. Debit cards, it's very easy for someone to go to Cumberland Farms, or if you write your PIN number on the back of your card, or it's in your wallet, for someone just to go to an ATM and make a withdrawal, could possibly hurt your financial family. So I just want to make everybody aware that it does happen, you know, in a rural community like our own. We did take over the state police cases. They had about 7 or 8 of them. They tied into our smart cases. The 4 males, you know, that's what they did. 2 of them are in jail right now. 2 are out on bond. But I just want you to know that the police department is actively doing the crime. You know, the guys that I have are a good bunch of guys, and I really appreciate the time.
Kevin, thank you for their good work on that.
They live right near Cape
Verde. Okay, thanks, Chris. Recreation, parks, buildings, and grounds.
Lights on Main Street. Everybody's noticed they've been out. We've had the highway look at them. We had our electrician has looked at them. They checked all the bulbs. All bulbs are good. They've come to the conclusion that the transformers, they've ordered the parts and they're on order. So we'll be in the dark for a while. In the park, after they get all their snow cleaned up, they go out of their way to get the walking path clear. Well, there's been a serious problem with people walking dogs and not cleaning up after the dogs on the walking path. If it continues, the board will have to take some sort of action, and it'll probably be banning dogs in the park. There's no alternative. So if you see somebody with a dog and they don't clean up, you ought to try to remind them if you want to walk your dog in the park. You know, remind them to clean up their mess.
Okay, thank you. regarding the park, and I'll mention this now with the 4th of July, we've contacted two companies, heard from one, looking at $4,000 for 20 minutes, $3,000 for 15 minutes on the 4th. And if we observe it, if we have our celebration on the 3rd or the 5th, the prices are the same. All right, so Alex just wanted me to mention this. So we're going to make a few more phone calls. That's quite a bit of money.
Is that the same house as last
year? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does that compare to last year?
I think it's $1,000 more. Yep. And I think last year was $3,000, and now this year it's up to $4,000. That's for a 20-minute display. $3,000 for a 14-minute display. And that's on the actual 4th, July 4th. So Alice, like I said, asked me to mention that. Okay, Kathy and Jeff, what is it?
First of all, everything seems to be going really well with water. We have 3 freeze-ups on residential properties. They were near the meter, and the customers took care of them. We took their responsibility with a little bit of a hairdryer. So that was, I think, and I've also received the information for the annual water quality report from Board of Health, and that will be going out with the April water bill. That's all I have on the water,
so. We processed an average daily flow of 54,000 gallons at the sewer plant. We hauled roughly 4,000 gallons of sludge from the plant, but another 4,000 gallons of septic from the system. We had one exceedance at the plant for total suspended solids. Hopefully this the sand filter upgrade is going to correct those issues. The contractors are staging for that project at the plant. They've actually been down today to review the site location, get that project started. We've been kind of busy out in the collection system and pump stations. of the seven stations, we've replaced two pumps and have done various, performed various tasks of maintenance and some preventative maintenance items. We had one freeze up in a septic tank at Schindler's, which was corrected. Other than that, we're actually looking pretty good.
You mentioned, you gave me a call regarding the brush around the pump stations. And once the weather breaks, we'll get those, you know, cleaned up so you can get in.
Yeah, that's the 23 bypass or overpass. That's pretty, that was definitely the worst of the seven.
Okay.
It's accessible now, but any help that the highway, the fire control had would be good help.
Okay.
Well spent.
Right. Okay. And you said the construction company was down today?
Yes.
Looking at the site and getting...
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, very good. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Kathy. All right. Janet, grants, anything?
Well, I did submit the
Greenway
grant.
Okay.
And they got back to me and said I didn't do one particular part quite right, but they told me what to do. So I resubmitted that part and I haven't heard back from them.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that's okay. Mary Kane showed me a newspaper article about money from the county for Main Street revitalization, which is open to either private individuals or municipalities, but the deadline for that is March 16th, so I didn't know if the town had anything that, this was only last night, if the town had anything they wanted to try to put together before that, and it's 4 weeks away.
Well, maybe we could reach out to Warren Hart and Carl Heck with the Main Street Revitalization and the group that meets with them, and maybe we could get something together in that short period of time.
Do you want to do that?
Yep, I saw Warren Hart this evening, so I can reach out for him and ask him if we can look into that.
So it's something.
Yeah.
Maybe even if it's just fixed the lights.
The lights.
You know,
exactly, something. Sure.
Put up the light posts that aren't there now that are missing and repair them.
Okay, good. All right, and Greenway will let you know?
Yes, I'm going to try to remember to give them a call tomorrow. It's been kind of busy. But just to check, make sure we're all okay with that.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. I see Mr. Lawrence and Mr. Lennon are here. Would you like to say, hey, I got you said it early tonight?
Wow. I'm first of all, I want to thank John Klein for attending tonight's meeting with Mike Gedry. Karen Carroll, the Fuel and Nature Center, received an award from the Ellen Redis Planning Award Program for picking up for environmental assets in Green County. And the Pedestrian Nature Center is part of their studio reservoir. It's very nice with John, and I think it's been improved over the years. But Ellen Redis, who I knew personally, I would have felt very proud of that time. I think it was an asset. And I think it's a great thing to see that done. I sent down to John a couple of resolutions that Harry and I have opposed. We deal with these things, putting a freeze on tax property that they own in Carroll. Carroll has the fourth largest block of state land in the county of Greene, and the state wants to freeze the tax rates on that to the 2008 levels. So that means that the town has to increase taxes, which they're probably trying not to, but they do have to increase taxes to go back to the rest of us who don't own state property. And the short point about that whole thing is that the state now wants to buy an additional $67 million worth of property in New York State. And I think that's kind of hypocritical when they're freezing the tax rates for the town of Carroll, County of Greene, and the Carroll Durham School District. At the same time, to buy more property, which they will then default their tax rates on. So I think the town board, and I'm hoping they will tonight, go in opposition to that particular party government policy choice.
Just want to add on that point that we passed a resolution on the legislature 14-0 in opposition to the government on this particular proposal. And that's what the Lord stated, you know, we hope you join us. Because we feel the more support we can get from the town and the county and send it all up to government's office and run back, it may be, you know, it would be better, obviously. But the school district will definitely suffer the work. I mean,
and the second resolution, the supervisor, was for the to oppose the governor's plan to block grant youth programs. Right now, they're direct payments to the town or to the county, and that money comes to the programs, and then other parts of the youth program are dealt with separately. The governor wants to put them into a block grant where youth programs and youth detention will be paid out of the same block of money. Now, you can guess which one's more expensive. Youth detention centers cost a lot. And if that money's used up for that purpose first, then the youth program, County Carroll does a very good job of in the summer, will be obsolete. And I think it's important that the town board and, again, the school board go in opposition to that particular aspect of the proposal.
Now, on that point, we have, as everyone knows here, a very successful Green County Youth Fund grant, which we started a little over 2 years ago. We've given out to Doris, myself, to Carroll alone, over $17,000 in 2 years to organizations in Carroll. That's a lot of money. That's money that we never had before, $17,000. We have a balance in our account as we stand here, and we plan to give out more this year. But if the governor's proposal goes through on the budget, we don't know if we're going to stand with youth fund grant. We're going to get some of that money back to what our youth programs do to the county. I'm talking recreation programs, golf, summer rec. These are all programs that kids, they're very successful programs, especially in Carroll. I mean, kids look forward to it. This is the money that we're talking about here, government proposal. We may have to give some money back to our youth fund grant to make up for that. Obviously, if we do that, then we're going to have less money for the Little League, the soccer, the basketball, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, right on that line. We give them money to cover every group, civic organization in the town of Carroll. We have to cut that back, unfortunately. And we don't want to see that happen because the program is very, very successful.
Whatever you're doing,
it is on the agenda, and we will bring it up. Okay? Thank you. Okay. Next, we're going to go to new and old business.
I have one thing I'd like to comment on EMS. EMS met last night at our monthly meeting. We had our annual elections. Mark Evans was re-elected president. Mark Leibowitz from Catskill was vice president. Dave Kennedy is the treasurer. EMS is doing great in Green County. We're well within our budget. Our new fly car is on order. And it's probably one of the best organizations and one of the most important committees I've been on, and they're doing well. And I'd like to praise them every chance I get.
Okay. Very good. They do an excellent job. They do. Ray, I'm sure you can agree with that, too. You know, just as much as good a job as your guys do, also. So, all right. New and old business. Accident involving a town truck. There was an accident up on Bolter Road North back in January. And the situation is that the town is not liable to pay for the damages to the person's vehicle because the town was not negligent in their actions with the plow truck driver. There is a state law that says that. So I have a letter here from the gentleman that was struck by the plow, and I'll read that to you, and then we as a group should see how they want to go forward with this. I, Donald Fisher of Jones Road Roundtop, was hit by a Carroll Town plow on December 31st, 2008. At approximately 2:30 p.m., I was driving down Bolter Road North, returning home from work. As I was driving up ahead, I noticed the plow coming down the other side of the street, so I attempted to move over, continue driving home, or out of the plow's way. Bolter Road is a very narrow street, and I, driving a large conversion van, was not in the best situation on a road to be passing a plow. As we converged, the plow moved over to his side of the street as well, but while passing each other, the plow's wing blade, or side plow, went off the pavement and dug into the ground. This, in turn, caused the rear end of the plow truck to swing into the middle of the road, thus totaling my 1993 conversion van worth $3,600, Kelly Bluebrook suggested value. Since the town's insurance does not cover this type of accident, or any other accident related with emergency vehicles besides gross negligence, this has become a total loss to my family and me. During such an economic hardship, this country is going through a loss of $4,000 without an explanation. It just seems an unright. Any help the town could give in the above matter would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for your time. Donald E. Fisher.
I assume I was turned over to a carrier, maybe not.
Yes, that's correct.
At the end of the
story. He asked just for me to bring, he called the office, and I told him that, to send a letter explaining the situation, but his insurance now is requesting information on the accident, which we provided to him, but that's...
Did he have collision on it?
No.
Probably not.
No. Nope. So, we need to... and he is right, the town is not liable for that unless there is gross negligence on the part of the operator. So, with that said, I'd like to get back to Mr.
Fisher, and
it was quite his little insurance carrier.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what when him and I spoke, but like I told him that, but I told him I would also bring it before the board if anybody had any other opinion on it. Does everybody agree that we should just keep it with the insurance company? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I will follow up with Mr. Fisher and explain that to him. Okay. But just so the board knows and the public knows that the town is not liable if they get another vehicle as long as it's not gross negligence on the part of the operator. Okay, new and old business, letter B, new work hours for town park employees. We spoke about this at our last meeting, and Rich, were you able, and Ray, were you able to go down and speak to the guys?
Yeah, we discussed it, and we didn't come up with any set hours. They cut the hours, they're down to like 14, 15 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know if we have any feedback of, you know, want to structure them. It's pretty hard to structure them with the snow. We want them in, and now we have a plow truck that we want them to run. And,
right.
We want to limit the hours to a set amount of hours, or just that they'd be flexible.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is, too, we talked about sort of 1st of April. By the time we implement this thing, it'll be the 1st of April.
Right.
Maybe we should look at it and implement something next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think any little bit would help right
sure.
now.
Well, you know. They are cut back.
Right. They have. I have noticed that.
Yeah,
in the payroll. But, you know, on days when it's raining and things like that, you know, those are the days when we should be, you know, going home early. You know, come in and check the garbage like they're supposed to and things like that. But,
they've been doing that, but
right.
Do you want to limit the number of hours?
Well, right now they're at, what are they at now, 20?
About 14 hours a week.
14 hours a week. But what?
What was
20.
Okay. Yeah. And that's how many people?
Three
guys.
Yeah.
I think 14 is a start. I think we could do that. You know, 6 hours less.
And that's like flexibility.
Exactly. You know, and I
yeah,
think
that. You know, they'll go home.
Right. And if it snows, you know, we're going to ask them to stick around a little bit longer. So I think 14 is a good number. Okay. Update on the grant received for the courtroom.
We met with Tanya. She's put out a request for proposals for 3 contractors.
Okay.
What it amounts to is make a privacy wall that can go to the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to replace the wall. She wanted to replace it because she said there's a mold problem.
Correct.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it'll be a privacy wall. And there'll be an extension made out into this room, a privacy room for the DA night. Now, what they requested, was for the full board to come to court on DA night and get the impact of what happens here. There's sometimes 15, 20 lawyers, and there's no room to move in that. In the offices, and there's no privacy for a DA. If there's a juvenile, they have to bring somebody out of another office or move to another
office. Yeah, whether it's a public defender or whoever can talk. You know,
right.
But what you were talking about doing is coming out by this side of that wall to just the other side of that window and coming out and
boxing it off to give them a little office over there, privacy office. Okay.
Now, will the wall be sound insulated also?
I presume.
Yeah, I would hope so. If they're going to, you know.
They're going to redo it.
Just,
make sure they do it.
Because there has been conferences back there, too, that, you know, with a wall that's only 3/4 high.
And the thing is, too, reminded her that if she gets a sole proprietor, they don't have to charge the prevailing wage.
Correct.
If they get someone who has employees, then they're going to
Right. And the Department of Labor has been around numerous times.
Yeah.
Checking up on that and informing us of what we can do and what we can't do. So, okay. All right, good. The boiler room, the door going into the boiler room up at the Acre Community Center is in desperate need of repair. It's next to impossible for the guys to get in and out.
They got proposals, huh?
Yes, they do. Yep. They have 2 proposals. One is, Mike Warner Masonry agrees to provide the necessary labor material to remove rotten door on the east side of the building encased in masonry and replace with a new door that the town already owns, which we do. We have a door available. The door will be completely installed except for the lock set and hardware. That proposal is $1,200. And then the next one we have from Alan Baverka, replace existing door in block addition with door buck that town supplies from police car garage. That's where it's located down here now. And his proposal is for $1,025. Now, the only concern I have, and I would just want to get clarification on this, Alan is cheaper. However, we have Alan is a town employee. He is on the planning board. And I would like to get clarification if that is considered a conflict or not. So, with that being the situation, I would have to review our code of ethics and speak to town.
It's not a conflict because it's open. Well, and that's nothing we have to distribute the ethics disclosure forms. But you know, it's open. Everyone knows he's on the planning board.
Right.
He's the lowest bid. It's not like he's the highest bid.
Mm-hmm.
If he was the highest bid, and we chose him, that
could be a problem. Right.
But since he's the lowest bid, and if he is consistent with that and doesn't charge extras and you know, add-ons, then I don't believe it would be a problem.
Considered a conflict.
We should pass it by town. But in the past, we've always Bob Phoenix always bid on town
work. Electrical work. Yeah.
When he was chairman of the planning board.
Okay.
In the past, and never found it.
All right. With checking with Tal, because it has become it's a serious situation up there. If he feels that it's not a conflict, can we move forward with this?
Yeah, I think we're gonna get it done.
Okay, because if they have to get in there for whatever reason, so can I have a motion to accept the low bid from Alan Vavirka Construction?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And that price is $1,025 with the door supplied by the town of Carroll. Okay.
John, is that going to be my door?
That was left of your door? That was, yes. First come, first serve, Chief. Okay. Next, we have the band extension update. This should actually be the not the band, the consent order extension. DEC has allowed us to go to June 30th, 2009, under the consent order. They have granted us that extension. So, with that said, that's. Gives us, I spoke to Delaware, and they feel that the construction would be done by that time. And Delaware was okay with that. The DEC was, they were willing, they gave us till June 30th.
And that's for the first
stage. Absolutely, yep. Okay, next we have discussion regarding the town of Greenville and the town of Carroll ambulance. Myself and Ray, Tal, Kevin Lewis from Greenville, Richie Bear from Greenville, they're on the Greenville Town Board, and two of their members from their rescue squad met. And the Greenville Town, the Greenville Ambulance is not affiliated with the Town of Greenville Board at all. Okay, they're all by themselves. They're a private organization. Mr. Lewis and Mr. Bear came just to kind of bring us together because the Town of Greenville has owed the town of Carroll, which, by the way, how much?
$13,313 as of the date of that implant.
Right. And that was for calls that the town of Carroll went into the town of Greenville to cover for them because, one, they couldn't get an ambulance off the floor. Two, possibly they were out on another call. So with those two situations, over the years, this has added up. And we felt that it'd be important that we bring this to some type of conclusion so we can work something out that gets recoup some of the money because we are a paid ambulance service and it's paid by the taxpayers of this town. And if we're going to Greenville to cover for them, I think it's only fair that we get some type of compensation. And so does Ray, and I believe the rest of the board does too, that some type of compensation for this. Ray, do you want to say any more? Or?
Well, I think just to explain the background as to what has happened here. Over the years, of course, there's been a significant amount of change in what's happened in EMS. And probably most of you remember about, 98, that Carroll, as a result of not having their own volunteer ambulance squad here in the town, developed the municipal ambulance, which, of course, became the town of Carroll Ambulance. Two of the towns bordering us, the town of Durham and the town of Greenville, still work off of volunteer ambulance providers. as a result of that, we all know that volunteers just aren't there anymore. And as a result of that, these two towns have been unable to provide a first-out ambulance service for their town. We, of course, being a mutual aid company, all right, would automatically backfill to cover whatever void that they had at that particular time. Now, normally what we do is when we go into one of the towns, when we run a call for them, we would bill their patients, receive the money for that from their patients, and it's considered, perfectly legitimate. We're getting reimbursed for it. Unfortunately, we do get some patients who simply don't pay their bill, don't have insurance, or for whatever reason, we don't get paid. As a result of that, we then turn around and bill the town of Greenville Ambulance for those calls. And all the towns, this is a common practice of all the towns surrounding us, including Catskill, which is another municipal agency, and the town of Windham, which is a municipal agency. So it's a standing practice that has kind of developed over the course of the last 5 years. The town of Durham has paid, and all of towns have, with the exception of the town of Greenville. And for some reason, the town of Greenville does not feel that they need to reimburse this money to the town of Carroll. So we've been back and forth with letters over the course of about the last 2 years requesting payment on this, and as of yet, they have refused to do it. John authorized me back in December to send them a letter basically stating that if we did not receive reimbursement from them by the 31st of March, that we would take the mutual aid contract that we currently have in place, and it would be canceled, so we would not be doing mutual aid with Town of Greenville. And this, of course, presents a problem in a lot of different levels, but specifically for them, because they really don't have much in the way of backup. They're surrounded by volunteer squads who themselves are struggling to try to get an ambulance off the floor during the daytime. And so this is a problem which has really been ongoing. It's not something new. It's something really that's been ongoing for about the last 2, maybe 3 years. And at this point right now, like John said, we wanted to bring this particular segment of it to a conclusion and then perhaps write some different contracts up with them in the future that would specify this. When the mutual aid contracts were put into place, none of the agencies were billing, so financial wasn't a factor. Obviously now, with the payroll and the expenses that we have here in Santa Cruz for this service, we need to collect every penny that we can to try to, keep us as solvent as we possibly can. So this is where we have come to at this point right now, and I think that's pretty much where we're going to be. Right.
So who actually owes us the money, the ambulance squad or the town?
The town of Greenville Rescue Squad, okay? The town of Greenville Rescue Squad has no, they don't have a contract with the town of Greenville. So they are basically on their own as a, now they are a billing agency, all right? They run calls, they just purchased a new ambulance, and they do have an income. So it's not like they're strapped.
Right, but it's not the town itself, it's the ambulance squad.
That is correct.
And that's where you have the mutual aid contract.
That is correct.
And the mutual aid contract right now doesn't have any provisions for
no financial payback. Provisions at all, that's correct.
But it's not, it doesn't say you don't do it.
That's correct. It basically, all it says is that when they can't provide the service, that we will come in and provide that service for them. And of course, those mutual aid contracts supersede the time that we were a paid agency and any of the surrounding agencies. Of course, now they're pretty much surrounded by, they've got the Coxsackie, which is a municipal agency on the east, and of course, Carroll, which is a paid agency on the south. Westerlo to their north and Durham to their west. Neither one of them are paid, they're both volunteer, but they're struggling as well. In many cases, what they'll do is they'll phone out for Greenville if they don't get a call, they'll go to one of these two other agencies, still not get a crew after 6, 8, 10 minutes, and then we'll wind up going in and covering that call anyway.
Did they ever reimburse us? Was there ever any reimbursement?
No, that's my knowledge. No. The other surrounding towns have, but the best of my knowledge. Am I correct on that, Patty? They've never, to the best of my knowledge, never reimbursed us for. And we have actually been sending them these bills now for, it's got to be, if not a year and a half, very close to it. All right, and that's why this has kind of come to a critical point in the place that the numbers were starting to get fairly significant. And, we just felt that it was something that needed to do. And we have been, there have been conversations for about the last 3 or 4 months between myself and Greenville Rescue, which we're getting nowhere, all right? And that's why I basically got John involved, because I felt the town board needed to, maybe be able to put some pressure on to get this paid. And, we don't mind sitting down with them and contracting for the future,
right.
But we're not just going to overlook the bill for the past. I think we get that cleared up, then we can make arrangements from this point forward. But I don't feel that we should just go ahead and, just write this off and say, everything's away with it.
What's their justification for
I don't really honestly know.
They really didn't say anything.
They just don't feel that they should have to pay because of the fact that they don't bill us for calls. Well, they run, in a year, they maybe run half a dozen calls in the town of Carroll. We, on the other hand, probably run, last year, I'm going to say we probably ran between 40 and 50, maybe even more in the town. So there's a disparaging thing.
And plus, not all the calls that they ran, they didn't collect on.
some of those calls they may
have. Yeah, and see, that's the problem. They run through a billing service, so they don't even know. You know, if it was, and I've told them on numerous occasions, if in fact you run a call in town of Carroll and you don't get paid for it, by all means, bill it. Catskill does, Wyndham does, and we pay it. So, I mean, there's always been this back and forth so that nobody, you know, loses out. The other thing, too, is that we're not billing them for every call. We're only billing them on the calls that we do not collect any insurance money from. All right? I mean, if we go into Greenville and we run a call and get Medicaid reimbursement on an $800 bill, we might get $100. But unfortunately, when you sign with Medicare or Medicaid, you take that as your payment. So, I mean, that's going to be a loss no matter how we do it. But at this point right now, like I said, all the towns surrounding us have met that obligation with the exception of the town of Greenville and just a couple of years
ago. Well, Tom, we'll pay for the calls they come to Carroll, and in return they pay us for the calls they didn't make.
We're not way ahead on that.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is the fact that they, you know, at this point right now, they just do not come into the town of Carroll very often. You only pay out.
They have to plan much.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right.
And it was explained to them, too, that we weren't there to tell them that, you know, we're cutting you off completely. You know, we want to work with them.
We had to put a time deadline on it. We gave them the 31st of March.
Yeah.
And we can cancel a mutual aid contract with a letter, a 30-day letter to them and to the town board basically saying, you know, we will no longer do mutual aid. I don't necessarily know that we want to come to that because EMS in Greene County right now is in crisis. There's not enough people. There's not enough providers. If any of you have scanners at your houses and listen to what's going on, Monday evening, about 6 o'clock, 6:30, literally there was no ambulances on the entire eastern end of the county. The only one that was left, the only municipal agency that was left was the town of Wyndham, that covered the entire county, and one volunteer agency, which was Durham. And at that point, we had an auto accident here in Carroll. We wound up taking two patients in one ambulance because we knew that the next ambulance arrival time would have been probably somewhere in the vicinity of 35 to 40 minutes. So, at this point right now, the last thing we want to do is start problems with our neighbors. But at the same time, I think that they've got to step up to the plate financially and you know, reimburse us for the work that we're doing for them to maintain that relationship. It can't be very, very one-sided like it has been.
Well, how are the town board members? What was their feeling?
I think they were educated. I don't think they knew really what was happening, what was going on. The lack of communication between the rescue squad in Greenville and town of Greenville seems to be ongoing. I don't believe that Kevin really fully understood, you know. At first they were, I believe, siding with the rescue squad, saying, well, you know, it's not their fault. When we pointed out to him, they said, well, who's
responsible? About the members of the executive board.
One was the executive board, one was the consistency.
Okay. We're going to get back to us that Saturday, and I never heard anything, did you, the Saturday after that meeting?
I thought you said when we were there.
She was. They were meeting that Saturday, and I told her.
They were meeting, and you said you were tied up on Monday.
Tuesday,
and
right, and I have not heard anything from them. So we'll give them a couple of days, but I think our board needs to stay on top of this with them, because $13,000 is a lot of money, and if we're going into the town of Greenville 50 or 60 times a year, that's a lot, and that's taking away ambulance service from the people in this town that are paying for it through their taxes. So we have to make sure, and maybe this is something that can be brought up at the EMS council meeting.
It's been actually brought up in all of the EMS circles that we run in, and it's everybody's aware of the problem.
Okay. Is there something that in the works that we can maybe come up with a payment, you know, some kind of payment plan? You know, some kind of contract that they'll pay us X amount of dollars to pay for the plan?
I think at this point right now, I think that's probably the way to go, and I don't think anybody has a problem with that. I'm not sure that addresses the current balance right now.
Right.
My suggestion is that simply to say, listen, at this point right now, we feel it's owed money. You bring this balance up to date, and then we'll sit down and we'll develop a contract. And,
mm-hmm.
and I think we can do that with all accounts around this. I don't think that's a problem, but at this point right now, I think we get two separate issues. You know?
Right. Okay.
Both the Durham board and the Greenville board are in discussion to restructure this.
They're in real trouble, and they know it. And it's not that they're not working on it. It's just that they're caught between a rock and a hard place. They don't generate enough call volume to put a paid crew in like we've got, and yet the volunteers just aren't there.
Right.
And now they realize that after their budget's been put in place.
Right. Hey, well, we'll keep the board up to date on this. As soon as I hear something, I'll let you know, and we'll keep it on the agenda for the workshop and the board meetings, just so we keep up to date on it. Next we have discussed town travel policies. I was looking at the state controller's website, and there is a policy on there for travel outside of town, and Lorraine and I were looking at that. There's nothing in place right now. Nothing. So I think it's important that we address this. And once I get that downloaded and changed New York State to Town of Carroll and stuff like that, Lorraine and I have been working on it, actually Lorraine, I'll get it to everybody's box, but then we can discuss it at the workshop. Okay?
Yes, it's going to become part of our employee manual, because we had talked about that, and the password is just going to be standalone.
Well, I think it needs to get developed, and then we can decide if we want to put it in the manual or keep it separate. All right? But I think we need to develop something.
Definitely. Is our manual, and then you talked about...
She's working on it, and, you know, she's kind of filling in her, you know, because she's a busy attorney.
So we might want to do this standalone.
Yes, take some time. Okay, so just, that'll be coming, so just keep an eye out for it in your boxes. Delaware Engineering, I spoke to Alan Tavener yesterday. He advised me, same as Joe said, that the construction company was coming down to the site to start looking at things, and that they would probably start bringing in some equipment rather soon, because the weather has been cooperative. We haven't had, you know, during the daytime it's been 30 degrees, and Alan said, you know, we can start doing some work there. So did they mention if they were going to bring equipment down, or they just kind of...
They were looking the site over to see where they're going to stick their construction drawing.
Okay.
So I think, you know, they can say as soon as the weather breaks, it's not like
they're going to
start.
They're going to start, yeah. Okay. All right. Next, we have a letter from two residents on Broad Street regarding ice and water issue. It's from Richard Booth and Elizabeth Brinkerhoff and at 322 Broad Street, and Don and Colleen Mosley at 308 Broad Street. Dear Mr. Coyne, our residents at 308 and 322 Broad Street, we share a common private road. A few years ago, the town Department of Public Works repaved Broad Street. When they repaved, they changed the course of how the groundwater ran down from the ledge at the end of our driveway. Before the work was done, the water ran down off the ledge in front of our driveway and down into the ditch that runs along Broad Street. Since the repaving, the water now runs down over the end of our driveway and plumes out all over Broad Street. This has caused a very hazardous situation, both on the roadway and at the end of our driveway, anytime there is melting and refreezing of the runoff. Mr. Booth has spoken to Mr. Rumpf about this situation. This area seems to warrant a drain at the foot of the ledge and culvert pipe across the road, which would drain into the ravine and swamp on the other side. The town did much the same thing at the upper end of Broad Street, just below Schmidt Drive. This was done just before the repaving to rectify an icing problem in that area due to runoff. We appreciate your attention to this potentially dangerous problem. It was CC'd to Steve. He is out of town, so when he comes back, I will ask him what the status of this is. Okay, next we have Mr. Gibbons. Is Mr. Gibbons here tonight? Okay, Mr. Gibbons has been on the agenda now. Actually, he was here one time, missed the workshop, and has now missed the regular board meeting. Carrie wrote me a little note. Mr. Gibbons came before the board in January asking permission to use the town park over a three-day period with camping overnight. His event has been reduced in size. He is requesting the park for one day, only July 27th from 9 to 9. There will be no camping and only about 70 or 80 people. So, Mr. Gibbons isn't here again for the second time. You know, I think we should just, you know, if he calls, he's going to have to be told, he's going to have to come before the board if we have questions for him.
Is that date open at this point?
At this point, yes, that date is open. Okay, they're not saying that Carrie might have gotten something this afternoon, but when I spoke to her earlier, it was still open.
Maybe Carrie could call him and tell him to come to the workshop that we have convinced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because we don't, I mean, people don't always come when they want to use the town park. We do a lot of it just by written requests.
Right.
So he needs to know that we have questions for
him. Right. Okay. All right. So I'll have Carrie call him for the workshop. Okay, next we have employee and elected official health insurance. When we passed this resolution back in December, I believe it was,
January.
Okay. There was no mention about retired employees in that resolution. And the retired employees are covered by health insurance retired elected officials. So I'd like to bring that up. Which
I had a resolution that I did in October, and that covers all aspects of it. And I think we won't be sued if we redo this resolution in this format.
Okay. Do you want to read it? And then
I could read it.
Okay.
I'll change the date.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the projected double-digit increase in health insurance premium, I propose that beginning 60 days from notice, elected officials pay 20% of their health insurance premiums by payroll deductions, whereas all retirees would be exempt from this resolution, whereas all union bargaining agreements would have to be negotiated and ratified by both parties, whereas this resolution would not change or affect the board's resolution passed in 2004 stating that any person hired after 1/1/05 would be required to pay 20% of their health insurance premiums, whereas 60 days written notice would be given to all employees affected by this resolution.
So, with that said, that's going to protect the retirees, where yours had no mention of it.
Well, mine had no mention of retirees, so that means retirees aren't included.
Well, we have to make sure that some of them were elected officials. Ann Dorfelt was one. Who were some of the others?
Frank Dorfelt.
You're saying it doesn't include those. Is that what you're saying?
They're exempt.
From this?
From the 20%, paying of the 20%.
So then how does that work?
There was no mention of the retirees and yours, and that was a concern that I had. That we
elected officials pay 20%. It didn't say anything about elected officials.
Okay, but if you look at the prior resolutions that we do have resolutions in place that take care of those other retirees. There's maybe five or six resolutions that take care of every case.
How about I'm sorry.
So you could leave out these new retirees.
Mm-hmm.
You could leave out these new retirees that Janet did, but it will not affect those other retirees because they're covered under prior resolutions.
Prior resolutions. And this would not supersede. This wouldn't supersede those resolutions, or would it? That's
well, your concern is that the resolution is passed.
So how about we just change the resolution that I did to say all currently serving elected officials, and then it doesn't get into the retirees, it just targets that they're currently serving, and that makes it a lot easier, and it doesn't affect, because then you want to do an issue with the judge. Connie's elected right now. He has the number of years of service for the retirement. And there was also something in the State Association, the New York State Association Towns menu, a book that came out not too long ago, that when you give the judge this benefit, which you gave him this benefit of elected officials, you cannot, there's something in there with now taking it away and making him pay the board's insurance. I think you really need to look into that.
Well, but I'm confused. He's not retired.
Yes, he is.
He is.
He retired, and he's back. He did retire. He's going to retire.
He is a retired.
Tommy Baldwin?
Right.
So right now we only have one sitting judge?
No.
Okay.
He had enough time to retire under New York State, okay? Then just because he got elected again, he's not. His time is continuing. It's separate. So he
but he is currently serving.
Absolutely.
But
he's collecting his health insurance as a retiree? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
No, he's paying. But he's eligible, like, you're saying that this would not be the sitting people now. But he's eligible for the insurance based on his number of years of service. He's eligible as a retiree.
Of the state or of the town?
The town.
And he's got 15 years or more of service with the, I believe, with the New York State Retirement System also.
So Tommy Baldwin, or Tom Baldwin, or Judge Baldwin, may be able to receive health insurance as a retiree from the state. He may be able to receive health insurance as a retiree of the town.
Well, from the state, from the town, based on the resolutions that we have
in the past. But he's currently serving, so you're afraid that if we put currently serving, that he'll have to pay
20%
as opposed to
the
retiree.
Right, that's what's in the... Because technically he has retired from service, okay, from the town of Carroll. He chose to go and get elected, again.
What did he used to be?
He was on the town board.
So that was an elected official also. It's not like he was an employee and then chose to...
No, but he had enough time.
Well, actually, he was up to Albany with his wife when she retired, and he got talking to the counselor up there, and that's the one that told him, hey, you know, you've got all these years, you can do this. I mean, he wasn't even aware of it until the retirement system told him.
Well, I think then we get into what does retired mean.
I,
you know,
I
and
agree.
That's a whole other question. But he has enough time to collect under the retirement system, but he still is employed. So, you're saying, I'm not blaming you, but you're saying he's retired, but he's still working. Mm-hmm. So,
I understand. That's why I wanted to say that this is done properly, because, you know, he's retired. And he's a retired elected official, but he's...
But he's still an elected official.
He's still an elected official.
But he
again.
Should be exempt.
Well, he shouldn't be an elected official.
Well, that's...
Yeah, but I think we need to table this and look into it a lot more. And,
this is,
you know, have you talked to Tal about this at all?
A little bit.
Or not to Tal, but to the... I'm sorry, I don't remember the other attorney's name.
Elaine Gold?
Elaine Gold.
No,
I
know.
Labor.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should really talk to her about it.
It is, you know, it's a situation where... one way or the other, you know, it's going to... Judge Baldwin is a concern in either way we go.
Right. We don't want to hurt him.
If he's entitled to it.
If he's entitled to it. But I think you really should talk to Elaine Baldwin and find out what her recommendation is.
All right. Okay. Next we have... the Glenn's Fair's House regarding the skateboard event. I made a few phone calls today, and I spoke to the Winter Club Resort, and I spoke to Lenore, and she said that she had no problem with this event going on. Okay. I spoke to Wendy at Crystal Book. Wendy was in favor of events coming to town. She thought it was great. However, she did have a concern of that particular weekend because of the amount of travel back and forth from Rita Bowers, who was having a very their summer festival, to Crystal Brook and the Bra House. So that was a concern for her. Not that she was upset about bringing an event like this to town, but she was just a little. She had concerns about her business for that particular weekend. I spoke to Carol Francis, who owns Carol's Crafts on Winter Clove Extension. Carol says she might as well just shut down for that weekend. There's no way she's going to get customers coming in there.
Did they ever look at the park,
though? Well, that's what I'm going to ask in a minute, but I just want to let the board know, and then if anybody else has made contacts or anything, but I'll just let you know what I have done so far. So Mrs. Francis feels that if this event comes in, she basically will have no vehicular traffic going past her house, her location, and she would might as well shut down. And then my final phone call was to our insurance company. I called Marshall and Sterling, and I spoke to Aaron, and Aaron said to me that it's not specific in our policy. However, she would speak to the underwriter. She called the underwriter, and she called me back within about 10 minutes, and the underwriter said that they can't dictate what the board does. However, the board is opening themselves up for possible litigation if somebody were to get hurt.
It's not a common town event, and your policy, I believe, states that it covers anything that's usual through the town's routine.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's totally out of our realm of past, you know. I'd be opposed.
But I'm just letting you know what took place, what I did, just so you know that I didn't just, you know, and Maria from the Glens Falls House is here, and I just want her to know that that is what I did. And if did any other board members have an opportunity to speak to anybody, the resort owners or anybody? Who wants
I
to?
I went up to Glens Falls House to look at that piece of rope, because I'm not familiar with it. And it just so happened that the event organizer was there when I had come. It was kind of coincidence. In terms of insurance, and I think it was on the original handout, that we were given, that the they have a policy which would indemnify the town. I just happened in between to see this two-hour documentary about skateboarding, so that got me very much interested in it. And I think part of the problem is a misperception of what it's going to be. It's not going to be a spectator event with all kinds of fancy tricks and you know, things and kids and draw people to look at it. It's going to be an event for mature family people who, as I said last night at the chamber meeting, want to do this. I don't know why. It will be slalom racing. They will be there. There will be 48 participants, maximum 48 participants, who will be up in the area, probably mostly at the Glens Falls House, but not exclusively, with their families, their children, their spouses, and possibly their parents or their sisters and brothers also. They basically will be staying there. The problem with the town park is that there's not, actually the organizers looked at the town park before this, but there's not a good slowdown area at the end of the hill. The building's right there and it's all, you know, the pavement's uneven. If we had it at the town park, it would also mean a lot more traffic going from the Glens Falls House or the Round Top area to the town park. Right now, all these people would basically be staying there for the day, eating lunch there, swimming there, maybe walking over to Real Bowers or going to one of the other events. I did have a chance to talk to Chris about it. I brought it up last night at the chamber meeting. Bill Hummel mentioned that the county had closed the 31, I think about 6 years ago, when the Casita Camp had an event and there were police there. His other suggestion, because I also talked to Ed Mossman, his concerns with the fire department and if there was a call, Mr. Hummel suggested that perhaps they could hire one of the police officers, one of the off-duty police officers to be there for the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, who would have a scanner for listening. Once a call goes out, the road could just be cleared. You know, his concern was if a volunteer wanted to get through, how would somebody know if it was a volunteer?
Mm-hmm.
But once the call goes out, if the road was cleared, that would be alleviated. He could also make sure there was no extra parking on the grass or congestion of roads. They wouldn't advertise for spectators. If they were going to maybe mention on WBSC, but not WBSC.
They're just going to use a radio broadcast of the event as it happens.
Right, but they could even do it that way if they have no
problem. It's advertised here in the International Slalom Skateboarding Association website.
Right, well, that's to get the participants. And that's the good thing, because these participants, that's how they're advertised to get the participants,
mm-hmm.
would be coming from Montreal, the whole Northeast, and the West Coast. So this would be bringing in people who normally would have absolutely no reason to be here. And the other, the reason they want to pick that weekend as opposed to another weekend is so that they could connect it with two other events that are going on. One's in Pennsylvania, Ohio, midweek, and the next one is in, I'm not sure, someplace else. So that people would make a whole week of that. They would be, you know, maybe flying in, coming here, then going there, then going to the next place, and the next weekend flying out of the next place. So it would be a whole area, northeast or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, set in compass several states. They'd only be staying here 3 days. And I understand what you're saying, Ray. You know, you don't want to set a precedent, but if something happens and there's problems with it or it doesn't work out the way you want it to, you don't have to do it again.
The town is still going to be naming a lawsuit if something happens.
They
can have all the waivers in the world signed, which is maybe a little bit of a resistance, but it really isn't worth much more than the paper.
Well, I'm not saying it's a waiver.
About carrier, as I say, the policy covers things that are usual town function. This is not a usual town function. And I'm concerned that if there was an accident there, that our insurance company, the very insurance companies, love to deny it.
I totally agree, but we're not talking about a waiver. We're talking about being indemnified by their insurance policy.
Are we going to be named as an additional
yes.
insured?
Yes.
Can I get
an additional?
The one thing I'll ask is, I don't know if the board is correctly asked, to check the reference in the other towns. This is not the only town. This is not the first time they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually employ you to call them and find out what those towns do. And there's some very large towns and some very small towns. And you can get a nice variety to see
you know, right, I'm certain they must have the same concern as Story Time.
Right.
There's some towns who are running it for 9 years. I urge you to say, call them, you know what I mean, find out, you know, exactly what their town went through in order to, you know, mm-hmm. allow the event to take place. You
right.
know, what the insurance cost is. My understanding, right, the town is all on their
On the insurance. Okay.
Again, I would urge you to call the references and make certain of that. I was actually very thrilled with Bill's suggestion yesterday. I was I was hoping it was making emergency vehicles, and I know that seemed to be one of the biggest concerns along with the insurance, of course.
Right.
To help with, you know, the comfort level that if there was an emergency in the area at that time, that, you know, things would be handled appropriately.
And that is my main concern, is the insurance issue. When I speak to the insurance carrier and they tell me, we can't tell the board what to do, but
right.
you really need to think about this, okay? And that's a concern. And the amount of people, you have 48 participants,
that's
roughly.
The maximum number of
okay.
participants.
So say we have 40 people,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right.
That's 40 people right there. That's cars, and then you're going to have spectators.
You're going to be spectators.
Yeah,
I know, but I'm sure we're going to have...
I'm sure there'll be some, yes, but I mean, it's not...
You're going to have some local interests
right,
and things like that.
Yeah, I'm anticipated to be heavily, you know.
Right.
But yeah, some people are certainly going to be in a different town, and they're welcome to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not paid. It's not a paid event.
No.
To come in and watch.
But we're going to vote, or we're going to stay.
The other thing is, I mean, I can speak to the woman who owns the gift shop there, but
mm-hmm.
I believe they were planning on buying her homes as the trophies.
And now, okay. Yeah, we actually spoke with her at length at her place of business and talked to her about it, and the fact that we're willing to all go with her so that she can get everything from where she was to Rita Bowers and stuff, because she had a display
right.
on down mm-hmm. at the festival, and so on and so forth. They said they would absolutely make no problem. They would help, you know, whatever she needed to do to get that set up to make sure that happened. People would not be able to go their usual route to get there, but they most certainly would still be able to get there
right.
with a matter of, you know, 5 minutes out of the way.
Mm-hmm. And they would also use Grand Catholic
yep.
for their shirts and all. So, you know, it would help,
right.
you know, some of the other businesses in the area. But to me, the thing is getting people here.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not
approved of either.
And I agree with Wendy Hasenkopf, that any event, you know, if it's something that's a positive thing, bringing people into town, but we need to make sure that the town is protected.
Right, and everything's
right?
safe.
Right. We received another letter this evening, all the board members have it, from Rita Bowers, and I'll read it quickly. We would like to express our opinion on the potential road closure on Winter Clove Road, June 13th and 14th. That's the 2 days, correct?
Correct.
Okay. On your website, you have 3 days. Is that just like a travel day? You get here on Friday?
Yeah, they get here on Friday.
And get ready for Saturday.
Correct.
Okay. Because on the website, it does have 3 days.
Okay.
We are not against any business trying to promote tourism into the community. Our view is that the more innovative ideas we all have to bring tourism into Round Top, the better for everyone at Round Top. Our opinion is setting an example for any business to bring an event into the community and closing the town road. If a business wants to do any kind of event, they will be able to use any town road and close it for any amount of time that they wish. The town allows the road to be closed, they will have to allow any road to be closed for all business purposes. The skateboard event will most likely become an annual event. If you say yes today, you'll have to say yes every year. From May to October, Round Top is a busy area. On June 13th and 14th, Rita Bowers has a summer fest. There's quite a bit of traffic in the area that weekend. My concern is parking for the skateboard event, which would all be along Winter Clove Road if the race is from Winter Clove Extension to the bridge. The spectators would not be able to get to Glens Falls House since the race is in the middle of their resort. They would be forced to park along the road, which would mean that if people want to go to Rita Bowers, they would be confused on where to go and may be blocked. They may think our event is full and turn around. When business want to be hold events, they usually build something on their own property to accommodate such an event. For example, Rita Bowers has a soccer tournament. We built 4 soccer fields. Back at Mountain Lodge has golf tournaments. They built a golf course. Winter Clove has bowling events. They built a bowling alley. Usually roads are closed for parades, religious events, or government events. When a business is making a profit on an event, they should not be using town road that is maintained by the taxpayers. If one business can ask for town to close the road, then any business can ask the town to close the road in the future. Sincerely, Peter Nussbaumer, Ursula Nussbaumer, Henry Nussbaumer, Anita Tita, and Janet Mossman, the owners of Rita Bowers. So that's just another group, you know, involved.
Right.
I think...
Excellent. I just feel that, I mean, first of all, the parking is going to be somebody at the bottom. They're not going to park on the road. We're going to direct them to park on our land, on our property, on the lawn. You know, they're going to be right at the bottom of the French to be able to park off the road. And again, if we have someone like an off-duty officer there, we're going to ensure that they don't park on the road. You know, I don't know what else to say. I'm not sure. I'd like to copy that letter, by the way.
Okay. Out of fairness to you and your business, would you and the promoters of the event, could we get see if we can get another copy of your insurance paperwork and forward it to ours?
I still think it's a dangerous road to go down.
Okay. I agree, too, that, you know, the insurance company...
And this has been going on for weeks and weeks. It's unfair to them, month after month. And we don't make a decision.
It's only been a month.
I think we should make a decision.
Well, I think you need to make an informed decision of what these means you need to check the references, talk to these towns. Find out what benefits they have from it. Find out what concerns they have with regarding insurance policy.
And this is something new for me. I'll be perfectly honest with you. This is the first time since I've been on the board that somebody has wanted to close a town road for an event like this.
I understand the concern about any questions. And again, you don't have to approve it next year if you don't think it went well this year. You know, that's your entitled to that decision. I mean, I'm asking for the opportunity. And the other thing, you know, with the closing road with a precedent, I mean, it's from my personal opinion, if we have so many events that we need to close out on the road, we should all be sitting around with big old smiles on our faces thinking this is the best problem this town can have. And it worked to a reasonable solution. I mean, you know, so again, you're at the helm as far as making that decision. It's this year, and okay, if you don't want to do it next year, you think it went badly, if there's a problem, an incident, great, but I think it really gets more a lot of tourism in this area. I mean, again, like you said, there's people coming from areas that don't have any reason to come, and what a wonderful time to let them come, because it's not only going to be our event, they're going to get to experience the Rito Bowers events and other things going on in the area.
Your insurance companies are very hesitant to give you a definite answer until something happened. Case in point, snow problem. Didn't take them long to make a decision on that, did it?
No.
Not covered. If you went to them prior and you asked, they're going to hedge. They never give you a... They're like attorneys. They never give you a definite answer. You know.
But this would be something happened.
And then all of a sudden, this is the way it is.
Well, I think we have to look at the insurance policy, make sure we are an additional insured. You know, that's one of the conditions. The other condition is we do have an off-duty police officer there. You know, we can put whatever conditions we want or feel is necessary to ensure the safety of the citizens, to ensure that emergency vehicles can get through. We're not saying we have to give them carte blanche. We can have whatever conditions we need and then let them decide whether or not they want to proceed under those conditions.
Right. At this time...
How would the people get in and out of the Summerfest at Rito Bowers?
They'll have access to it from the bottom of the winter close right up the green drive where the other go. It's just people coming down from the winter or from winter close or from
Crystal Brook
that would have to go around.
Well, you'd have to have some sort of signage. Did you discuss
that?
That
one's a very detailed signage so people would really understand that Rito Bowers can go this way and those are those. And again, there would be somebody at that point that would be able to physically direct them a person so that they would not be even completely relying on a sign.
And that was a concern of Crystal Brook, that they would have to take that extra,
well.
You know,
they were
time on.
They wanted to make sure we had very, you know, specific signage as well that we could get to the battery level. No problem.
All right. Yes, very. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask if the board would just, we'll make our final decision at our workshop, but I think it's important that we have an opportunity to contact these other groups. And just out of fairness to you and out of fairness to the whole situation, because this is new, and I don't want the public to think that we're dragging our feet on this, but this is the first time this has happened, and we need to make sure we do it properly.
I think we need to let Maria know what other information we want from her. But do you want
to... I'd like to see a copy of the insurance again.
Oh.
If you could... I know you have, but if you can give me an updated one with the clause on it from the your carrier and the promoters, okay? And we'll contact the other communities. I'll make an attempt to contact some of the communities and the other board members want to also.
I think we need contact telephone numbers, so I think we have to.
I can get phone numbers.
Yeah, I think we need the telephone numbers.
Roundtop is the last stronghold of the resort in Greene County, and we certainly want you to succeed, but it's like taking an artery and closing it off in that area, you know, and So the main tourist attraction in Green County.
Right. So.
But it may bring more tourists.
It might. But you know, there's a lot of ifs in this whole thing. So if we can keep in touch, and we'll I'll put this on the record for tonight that at the workshop we will make a decision, so you're not being led down a path.
Okay.
If we decide not to go with this, or
and
if we do,
you okay. You
just
let me know what specifically you want.
Okay, good. All right, very good. One other thing on new and old business: the library's computers are going up to the Acre Community Center. The school, Mr. Tavey, the principal, and the technology group will be bringing computers from the school that are not being used now for the seniors to use up there. So we're looking to get maybe 5 or 6 workstations up and running shortly for the seniors at no cost to anybody. We're just bringing computers that aren't being used at the school and here at our facility up there so that they can be used. And the school is going to network them and get them up and running through the technology class. So that's a good thing for our seniors up there. So everybody's aware of that. Okay, any...
Yeah, I had a couple of things on there. Policies we were doing. I probably should have brought it up in the travel policies. One is a FOIL request. The town boards don't get notified. We used to get notified, and I think maybe, I don't know if we should send out memos or something that all FOIL requests should be in our mailbox. Yeah, upon receipt.
Okay.
And the other thing, we pass resolutions, and the respective departments don't get the information. I feel that the town clerk should be responsible, but any resolution that we pass that makes a change or an addition to any department should be forwarded in a timely manner to that respective department. An example is our new fee schedule.
I think there were some sent out, the fee schedule, yep, I asked Larry to do that.
But I understand what you're saying. If we pass a resolution, the assessor's office.
I think it's getting done, it just don't get done.
Right.
And the other thing is, by resolution, the town supervisor is on a capital project. By resolution, the town supervisor is the overseer. We're in charge of all capital projects in the town of Carroll. As a board member, I'm aware of many state and local agencies being called and interrogated over decisions made by this board. At present, many of these agencies are frustrated by these calls. I would like to see a policy adopted that any calls or correspondence to any department or agency regarding the town on a capital project be directed to the person in charge, Supervisor Coyne. I assume that this is already in place, but evidently it's not being followed.
By who?
We're all guilty of calling different state agencies for different things.
Oh, you're not talking about residents generally?
No, board members.
No, I'm talking about board members.
Oh, okay.
Board members. Regarding the capital projects. I don't. If anybody wants to contact the state agency regarding the capital project, all they have to do, and I don't have a problem doing this, is send me a note and we'll discuss it and ship it off from the on town letterhead.
Well, how do you distinguish what somebody on the town board does as a town board member or as a
individual? We would discuss it.
No, or as an individual, a resident of the town.
Well, we're talking board members. I think Richard was referring to board members.
You are talking board members, but how do you distinguish what I do as an individual and what I do as a board member? For instance, when I wanted some information from the planning board, I was told I had to do a FOIL request. This was last year. I said, I'm a board member. They said, oh, no, you're an individual. You have to do a FOIL request. So I think it's really hard to distinguish myself as an individual and a resident of Cairo and wanting to find out some information as myself as a board member.
Right.
And truthfully, John, I can find that going through you is always the best thing.
And it's mutual here sometimes with you, Janet. You know, sometimes it's very hard to deal with people's schedules and opinions. And
correct. So I think sometimes it's better for individuals on.
But I feel that we're getting the DEC and EFC and all of them are getting bombarded with phone calls from us. And I don't have a problem if somebody wants to forward a letter from the town, that's fine. But just let us know what the letter's going to be. You as an individual, is there humor in that? Okay. Well, we can keep our comments to ourselves during this, please. I'd appreciate that.
You might call Mr. Mumbles over there.
And I would approach Ms. Dumba. I think we all need to just calm down. What Rich is asking is that if we approach the state on different topics, that maybe the board, maybe we could CC the other board members on what a request is. If you would like to make it as an individual, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. So.
Well, in which case, then the resolution is moot, and it's really ineffective. Hmm. Truthfully,
I don't think it was a resolution. I think it was just a policy. That's all. And it's mute. It's moot. All right, moving on. The Greene County legislative resolutions. And again, there will be time for public comment. I would ask the audience to please keep your comments down a little bit, please. Okay. We have the two from the Greene County legislator. And I'll just read this quick letter from Bill Lawrence. Dear County Care of Board members, I'm enclosing to review some topics that have been recently acted on by the Greene County legislator and which I think you follow up. The first is a letter to Albert Salvino, which also addressed all town supervisors, but which I wanted to reinforce. It deals with New York State, because all youth programs through a block grant program, which Mr. Lawrence made reference to. And the second is with the state freezing the taxes into 2008 level. I urge the town board to go on record opposing this concept as well, since the state has put aside monies in the current budget to buy more property, which aggravates the situation further. Harold and I would be happy to discuss with the town board should you find that necessary. Okay, so we have a resolution in opposition to Governor Patterson's proposed youth development block grant. Now, can I have a motion to... Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion is carried.
I'm very sure that...
Excuse me? The copies get to the legislator, yes. Yep.
Is there a sample?
Yes, it is. Yep. I have it. Yep. Next is a resolution in opposition to New York State Senate Bill 56 for 2009 and New York State Assembly Bill 156 for 2009 regarding the New York State freeze on the lieu of payment of taxes at the 2008 level. Do I have a motion for that? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. Very good. All right. Mr. Lawrence, Mr. Lennon, those will be forwarded down to you guys at the county, okay? All right. And thank you for bringing that to our attention. Next, I need we have a resolution to appoint Chelsea Viverka as clerk to the tax collector. Emily's assistant, one of her assistants, was not able to work anymore, so we have to appoint Chelsea. Her rate is $11.25.
Right.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Okay, next we have funding from the back of Greene County for the town dump truck. Steve asked me to look for possible funding because his funding source ran out of money for the dump truck for the lease for that state bid truck, and the Bank of Greene County came in with a significant a rate quite low compared to what the other was. So can I have a motion to appoint Bank of Greene County as the funding source for that truck?
Mm-hmm.
That's second. Okay, for Janet. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next, we need to discuss this in executive session regarding the police department provisional appointment. Okay, next we have a resolution that was brought forward by Janet regarding department reports. We hear from different departments, and we never have any record of it. You know, the chief gives us something. He has it all the time. The chief. Every month, the chief gives us something. Steve Rump gives us something. However, it's important, I think, that it's, and Janet, I agree with Janet on this, that we have something available for the public to review. It can't become part of the permanent minutes of the meeting. However, maybe we could have something in the clerk's office where it is available for the public to review. Okay? So that's Janet's resolution. Whereas the town board strives to have the business of the town open and readily available to all residents, therefore it is now resolved that all departments and boards will present monthly written reports to the town board at the town board meeting of each month, and is further resolved that the town clerk will maintain these reports as permanent records of the town. Do I have a motion for this? I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Very good. Okay.
So that needs to be distributed to the town boards and the town
right. Yes. Yep. And next we have a resolution for the senior citizen exemption. That was from the assessor. Do I have a motion for that? A second? John seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, and next we have an exemption for the low-income disability. Second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right. At this time, we will take a few minutes of public comment. We are going to cut this off at 9:15. That's 10 minutes. Does anybody have any comments for the board? Nobody has comments. You will?
Yeah, I have comments. I can't believe I just heard the board. What I think the board is doing is trying to censor other board members. When you were elected, John, you went on being transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just made the walls of the town hall opaque.
Okay.
I think that not allowing any board member to do the job, the board member, and saying that they shouldn't do that, I think it's censorship, unconstitutional, illegal. Presented to the board as fact. There was no paper presented to the board from the FC. What was handed to the board was a resolution. None of the board members had a chance to look into it. And it was voted upon, okay? To say that somebody then can't go and look into the facts is censorship. And you know what? In order to get the facts, you would have to call DPC. You would have to call the FC. And you're saying that you don't want the facts known. You don't want any of the board members to have the facts known. If three people make a vote on something, then they have to go through the same three people who said yes to something when the other two have said no, and you're not giving them the right to find out what the facts are. I think that is unconstitutional.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
John, first of all, I want to thank Luann R., Janet, and Frank Galvezzi. They gave me a lesson on the town's budget, and I appreciate it, and I want to thank you. Last week, I commented on the, I asked for a reason for why the budget increased 14% when it was passed at 7%. And at that time, you told me it was because of chargebacks. At least I think that.
That was some of the, yes.
Actually, the chargeback was only $9,000 over last year. When the general fund increased their spending this year by 19.6% over last year, and the highway department increased that by 9%. So the general fund increased their spending by 19%. So how could you blame the chargeback for the 14% increase in the town fund?
Well, that was a mistake on my part because I did not include the chargebacks as part of the budget process.
That was
something after that I learned after the fact, okay? And when I spoke to Mr. Vermillier, that's what he told me, that those come into the town, all right? And now I've made a response to what you're asking, and I'm going to read it. It appears that, and I'll read this, okay? I knew you were going to come back with this, and that's fine. And I prepared something that I'm going to read, and that's where I'm going to, it's going to, I'm not going to comment any further on that, okay? Do you need to change that? Clearly enough, the increase in the tax levy and the increase in the tax rate. I said that the town tax levy amount to be raised in taxes was going to increase 7.65% over the prior year levy. What I should have said is that the tax rate per thousand of assessed value was increasing 7.65%. This percentage increase I quoted in the tax rate per thousand did not take into consideration the county added chargebacks of the town levy in the amount of $64,988. As you all know, the tax levy with the county chargebacks increased 14.2% and the tax rate per thousand of assessed value increased 10.8%. rest assured that during the budget process this coming year, I will announce a percentage and change of the tax levy and the percentage and change of the tax rate per thousand. And that's what I have comment to what your question is. So, any other questions for the board?
Can I just make one comment after that?
Sure.
The town, in 2009, the budget increased by 19.6% over 2008. Is that correct?
Without the budget in front of me and those numbers, I'm not going to answer that question. No.
Well, that's what
it has. Okay. All right. Any other questions for the board? Yes, sir.
I have a couple questions and comments.
Okay.
I think while we're making resolutions to keep the state from taking advantage on tax situations,
mm-hmm.
I think the legislators in the towns will all look into more of the low-income housing, section 581A, because that is just a clever way for the state to take the tax out of their budget and put it into our budget. That we have proposed low-income housing coming to our town,
mm-hmm.
and Frank Allen Green, who was the Republican tax director, wrote a letter to the editor.
Mm-hmm.
That whole 52 million is going to pay like $5,000, that's using the developer's figures. And we're going to have a huge tax bill. That's worse than Section 8, because at least Section 8, the feds and the government send those checks until the cows come up. Now that'll stop, and we, the citizens of Carroll, are going to be paying for the excess, all these taxes. That's a couple $1 million just to do. I'm not talking about fire, ambulance,
mm-hmm.
mental health, social services, anything else. And our county, I've seen, has been there, wisdom has a $500,000 grant to perpetuate low-income housing in our whole county. Now, before we go on this spending spree of $500,000, the state is all after this and pushing everyone to do this. Unsuspectingly, our whole county is going to be, we're going to be out there to increase our taxes for the whole town. You're either going to have to be unemployed or filthy rich to live here, because who else is going to pay these taxes? We got people we need to take care of, don't get me wrong, that fall in that category.
Mm-hmm.
But by building new houses and new places to be, it's to come. We're going to invite more people here. We have people now that have a hard time paying their taxes. They're just getting by, and we're going to create more of a need, because we're going to have to raise their taxes because we brought in other people. Now we have to subsidize them as well. It's a downward spiral. And if you want to do something about passing resolutions, I think we can pass a resolution that we don't want low-income housing, unless the state and the Fed are going to pay their fair share. And not put that tax burden onto the citizens of this county and this town. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
That's somewhat I'll look into. And also with our water and sewer, I saw in the Daily Mail that Schumer says that there's going to be money for the Carroll Sewer. Or that was one of the benefits he said of all this new project proposal to
mm-hmm.
get that. Are we aware of that? And
yeah.
Why are we starting on our sewer now if there's money down the pipeline? Shouldn't we need to get our money first and see what this is all about and do things right?
The way it was explained to me, and this was somebody from Kristen Gillibrand's office, okay, was said that this money will be considered grant money to pay back loans or to get projects up and running. That's how it was explained to me. So they said that communities should possibly go forward with it, or they can wait. But it's a grant-type project. It's not loans or anything like that. That's how it was explained to me.
Should we look into that before we get to talk to the horse?
No, absolutely, but June 30th is coming pretty quick, and DEC says we need to... I know, but...
The only reason we're in a hurry now is because of all the tariffs.
No, that's not correct. But that's your opinion.
That's my opinion.
Okay. Any other questions for the board?
Could you tell me how... I have a copy of the little litigation certificate that you signed to get $750,000
mm-hmm.
on a bond anticipation note from Magazine County.
Mm-hmm.
How can you fully well know that you are in litigation on this? How can you sign such a document and fraudulently obtain money to start to work on sewer?
It was not obtained fraudulently. I spoke to the bond counsel and the town attorney, and that document is being taken care of as we speak.
And what's being done about it?
Excuse me?
What's
being done about it? The correct document is being prepared. It is prepared, and it was signed by me, forwarded to Mr. Minnell, that has reference to pending litigation with the town.
So what you're saying, John, is that document, even though you were
advised by two attorneys to sign it is not a was not the correct document.
The correct document to sign, and the correct document is being forwarded to
and
Mr. Minnell.
You have signed the correct document.
That has reference to the litigation in it, yes.
Do we have copies of that?
No, because they went to Mr. Minnell for his signature, and then I have a copy. Yes,
with
my signature, but not originals. And one will be coming back to me, and all board members.
I mean, I'm concerned because I was asked how could two attorneys, our town attorney
absolutely.
And bond attorney, recommend or tell you to sign this? How could they do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, I don't know how they could do that. But it seems to me, in reading it, it directly refers to, you know, litigation
mm-hmm.
and the lawsuit that was filed concerning how the bond was. You know, the referendum and the blah, blah, blah. And I don't know how those two attorneys could do that. And I am very concerned about our relying on these two attorneys to advise the town on what to do and how to act.
Well, these attorneys were appointed by the town board by resolution, and the matter is being taken care of.
Well, but maybe we need to reconsider who our attorneys are.
We can do that. And any other comments regarding this, I would ask that you go to the attorneys regarding this. You can ask me, and
I'll ask whoever I wish. Thank you very much.
And I will get an answer from the attorney.
I'll ask whoever I wish.
And I will answer if I choose to.
Yes.
And I will take the question home.
I'll ask whoever I
wish. Peter?
I was asking this more about the reports. In the past, since I've been on the board, there's never been any, as far as I know, any requirement or request from the planning board to do a report at this monthly meeting. I just request that if that's going to be something like going to be asked for in the future, that somebody please let me know and let me know what you would expect out of the report.
Okay.
And if you would require somebody to be here at a meeting, I just want a little heads up, because in the past
right.
7 years I've been in the planning board, we've never been required to do a report.
Okay.
And if all of a sudden next month I'm not here and everybody says, well, where's the planning board? I just want to have a heads up if we're going to be required to do that.
Right.
I think a copy of the minutes would be sufficient.
Correct.
Yeah.
A copy of the minutes or even just a summary. We had this many new projects, this
but
many...
A copy of the minutes is going to be a month late because they'll improve the minutes until the next meeting.
So then we could just do a summary.
Maybe just a summary.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
And you don't have to be here. That's the advantage, too, so you don't have
okay.
to be here.
I know what's expected, so that... And it works.
Peter, just a summary, if you could.
Okay.
And then if there's other questions... maybe your minutes could be forwarded the following month to us once they're approved. Okay. Rob?
Just a quick question. Does the town at the moment have the services of a grant writer? I'm under the impression that our previous one has been dismissed.
Correct.
No, we don't have the services of a grant writer. However, I am trying to put together a group of people who would be interested in grant writing.
Right.
Right. So if you're interested, and you have experience also, I believe, you know?
Somewhat.
I'm putting you on the list.
More interested in having a full-time...
Yeah. Well, I'm okay. putting you on the list.
We have one more question, and then we have to get into executive. We're 5 minutes past.
Yeah, so this resolution for the department reports, you said that they would be made available in the town clerk's office, and they would not be a permanent part of the town clerk's minutes. And my question is, if they are giving these reports in the town board meeting, why are they not being made part of the, attached to the town clerk's minutes as a record of
What was explained to me from the town clerk is that the only thing that is required from her is the minutes of the meeting, with no attachments. That's what was told from me. I don't see it being a problem with stapling them to the minutes of the meeting and putting them in the binder. I don't see a problem with that. However, that's Tara's office, and if we make that request, she is an elected official. If it has to go through the supervisor's office or another office in the town, then that's what we have to do.
So it may also be easier to keep the minutes for each department in its own binder. And then it might be easier for people to look through that way than have to go through.
Who's
going
to do that?
Yeah.
Well, that's right. We have to, what's your time here?
I just want to say that many years ago, the department reports were part of the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a historical record of the town, things that are going on in the town. And I think the town board minutes need to reflect more the historical record than just the resolutions that the town board is making. And I do realize that it's her prerogative as the town clerk,
mm-hmm.
but I think she should be encouraged to include this as minutes so that DSM will just say, why are we having something happen in a meeting? That you can go back and you can find this to discuss it in the minutes. And I think that is very important. But
okay.
She needs to be encouraged to.
Debbie,
I can see you not having to type it all in, but to me, why these reports cannot be attached to the minutes and put in the book? But in
Debbie,
the
as a deputy clerk. Debbie,
okay, we're gonna the minutes are on legal paper. We're gonna have a folder, and every month, all monthly reports will be in a separate folder. But they'll all be. You can pick this date, and you can go and play with the next folder out with department reports. You have police. You can have 15 pages. Mm-hmm. And then you're talking messy, copying. You know, there's a lot of people that follow these documents. Then you have legal, you have that. You have two separate folders, and it's much easier.
And that way all the police can be together, and you know, you can look in. And I agree with you, it doesn't need to be historical records.
But they are going to be recorded, and in their own separate folders from the dates of the meeting. And one other thing, Councilmember Renz mentioned something about FOIL. I just want to clarify this. Did you say you want a copy of every FOIL? Because I do have a log book.
When somebody requests it, I think the board should know who's FOIL and what and when it's requested.
Because there's a log book in the town. Everything is logged in. So I just want to clarify because do you want a copy of every FOIL request that comes into the town?
Well, we should be alerted to the request.
So you want any, for any...
I think what you're saying is you can look in the bucket, right?
Okay.
Right.
Which do you prefer? That's what I want. You gonna take the book? Okay. Okay.
All right. Can I make a motion to go into executive session? Just so the public knows, that is a possibility. When we come out of executive session, we will be passing another resolution. So if you wish to stay, there will be a possibility of passing another resolution. All right. Second. All in favor?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. It should be brief.
Yeah.
Okay. Want to shut this off?
Yeah. Make a motion to come out of executive session.
Have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. At this time, I'd like to have a motion to appoint Dan Braden as provisional sergeant at the rate of $16.93 per hour. He would be a full-time sergeant with the police department.
I'll make that motion.
Do I have a second? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay, so that is it. Mara.
1693.
And if you'd like a copy of this resolution, because it pertains to your...
Yes, I would.
He is as provisional full-time?
Yes, provisional full-time sergeant. Yes, I'm going to. And I'd like to thank Jeffrey for shoveling the sidewalks for us. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And now the one at home has to be done. No. Thank you, Jeffrey. Okay. Can I have a motion? Well, we'll go pay bills and then we'll adjourn the meeting. Okay.
Motion pay bills.
Motion pay bills. Mr. Lawrence, thank you very much. Have a good night. Okay. Perfectly understandable, right? Which one? This one first? This was on top.
Sorry.
Have to keep my man in line.
Where there's water.
Do
you have enough money to pay those bills?
No.
Just take it home.
Can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting? Second. I second it. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Meeting is adjourned.